Blog Talk Radio.
Let's hit the road and away we go. Take a new direction to a different coast. Maybe we should try and put it on the line. You gotta trust me now, turn up the radio. Tune out the world and roll with the melody. Maybe listen close and open up your mind. Imagine it. Soundtrack in the wind, like passing violins. I can be your rhythm in the silence. And every time we sing, it echoes in the sky. Yeah. Let me close your eyes, help you fantasize. Make a kiss our playlist the entire night. Listen to the words as I let them fly. Oh, imagine it.
Victor Sotomayor, I'm filling in for Jeffrey Martin, who started the whole ripple effect. And the concept basically behind this is to have really great poets and really great thinkers and just talk about poetry, talk about spiritual things, nice things, uplifting things. We already have, I think we have five shows already. And today we have a really, really special, actually we have one plus listener now, calling in too, by the way, just so you know, Mike, she's on the line, she's one of your admirers, so I may introduce her later, but she's right now, she's at work, so I don't want to put her on the spot yet, but I want to welcome Mike, the poet Sonson, on the line. He's one of those powerhouses that I've heard of for a long time, and I wanted to see you at Lee Crawl last Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
But it was just crazy, and yeah, and I was super tired.
It was really crazy.
And wasn't it?
It was great, but it was almost too much. But it was good. I mean, it's a great, beautiful thing. But wow, what are you going to do when there's 40 readings going on over 4 hours?
Exactly. Like wow, it's like being at Disneyland and having to choose between Star Wars, Space Mountain, Indiana Jones, and the Pirates of the Caribbean at the same time. Like, you have to pick
yes,
one.
Sir.
Like, Pirates. but I also want to go, oh, my God, I can't do this. Like, Iris Deanda was on one end. Jessica and Juan were the other. Nelson were somewhere in between. You were there at the Speedfire. What was it, Pitfire?
Yes, sir, the pizza place, yeah.
Yeah, how was it?
There. It was great. I read with Ruth Nolan and Alex Espinoza, who are two fabulous writers. Alex Espinoza is mostly a novelist. He actually was teaching for a long time at Cal State Fresno, and now he's at Cal State LA. And hold on, I have to tell my wife something. Emmy, I'm doing a poetry radio interview with a friend of mine, but he can come up. My son is 1.5, and he's a heck of a character. He might end up hearing my son in the background here in a minute. But
no problem.
And then
that happened before in my show. It's not a big deal.
you know how it is. Us poets, we're always wearing 5 million hats, and one of them is hanging out with my son and my daughter and my wife. But I read with this woman named Ruth Nolan as well, who's both a poet and a memoirist, and she's done a lot of amazing work out in the desert in Coachella. She grew up near Joshua Tree, and she's been doing a lot of work with indigenous out in the desert, and also she did this workshop with these survivors of suicide, and her poetry is really about healing and therapy, and she's also done she's done a lot of stuff as a firefighter, and she used to work out in the mountains and fought fires for a number of years. So she has some really interesting poetry about both nature and the human condition. And they were two great people to read with. We all read for 15 minutes each. And I can't believe, in a way, also how amazing North Hollywood is. Everybody talks about how 10, 15, 20 years ago there was almost nothing in North Hollywood, and now mm-hmm. it's this really just amazing neighborhood. Really, so many art galleries and little bookstores, and I have to say, like, though there was too many things going on, I'm glad to see North Hollywood booming, and it's an interesting neighborhood.
Yes, it is. Actually, I used to, well, I don't know if you happened to go when Bob's Espresso Bar, it was open, and it was hosted, there was an open mic hosted by Jessica Wilson Cardenas and Juan Cardenas,
yeah.
And of course, Bob, oh, God, his name escapes me right now, but he was the actor back in the 80s in that
right.
One movie.
Yeah.
Not so bad. Robert Romanos, and the movie was, Sean Penn was in it, High Times at Richmond High.
Right. That's right. You know what? I've met him before, too. I'm trying to remember what his name was, too. But I know he was
Robert
pretty
Romano.
Active in the poetry. Robert, yeah, he was very active in the L.A. poetry community for a long time.
Yes, yes. Now, I mean, let me ask you, because, well, the interview is about you, not Robert Romanos. So, Mike, how long have you been in the scene?
You know, really since the late 90s. And about 1997 is when I first began reading my own work. But even before that, I like to tell the story of my friends and I. We were definitely fans before we ever became poets. And we were poets already, but I started, you know, in high school and early college and writing a lot of poems in my journal and then going to listen to other poets. And then I would say around the time I was 22, 23, I actually started sharing my own work. But up to that, just read a million books. We were also in the underground hip hop scene. So I was kind of always in between music and art and poetry. And at this point in my life, my wife is a painter. And so I've always been a kind of interested, you know, multi-disciplined. I love poetry, but at the same time, the LA music scene, the LA art scene, and so most of the 90s were spent in my life writing a lot in my notebook, reading a lot of books, and running around town to music shows and poetry readings. And also we used to do things like we'd go to Griffith Park and we'd take a hike and we'd bring our notebooks and then we'd write a poem when we got to the top. And
wow.
And then
That's amazing.
Say,
like, oh, I want to do that.
You know, the nice thing is, because it's like something that, you know, it's a lifelong thing, because I have a buddy who I've been reading with lately, and he's in his mid-30s now, and he told me he never read his stuff in his 20s, but he was writing a million poems, but all of a sudden he's discovered the scene, and he's just blown away by how many poetry venues are in L.A. And as you know, there's so many, there's people we know that are doing poetry into their 70s and 80s, so it's a lifelong thing. So I think there's so much rich culture in this town that, you know, whenever you discover it, you can do it forever. And for people that even discover it a little later, it's just an endless field of things and places to do. So I really love the LA poetry community. It's been a really big part of my life.
Right. Actually, recently there's Patrice, who I want to say a shout out to Patrice in Berlin or Paris. He came recently. He was the publisher. He published Jessica Wilson's Serious Longing. It's her poetry book.
Yeah.
And so he came, and he, you know, he's been coming for the last 4 years. And I think last year was the one time that he met everybody in North Hollywood. Actually, he happened to go to Boss Espresso Bar on a Wednesday night. And anyway, so he met us and he met everybody. So, and I met him in Paris. So I invited him to come over and come to Tia Chucha's and come to my house. Actually, he came to my house for my birthday.
How cool.
He left with such a good impression of the LA scene. He wants to come back. He already wants to come back in March. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, well, Paris is Paris. Come on. You can't compare us to Paris, right? But he's like, no, you guys are really, really great. He was in love with us. He's like, oh, my God, he wanted to do everything with us. He wanted to go to every open mic. There's something with the LA scene that it doesn't happen anywhere, you know?
You know what? That is really the truth. I mean, I've even talked to poets from New York that have come out here and said that the New York poetry scene, though it's flourishing and there's a lot of great poetry in New York, they said to me that there aren't as many poetry venues in New York as there is in L.A. and that there's not the diversity that L.A. has. They say that New York, it's just a couple of styles of poetry. It's either the real academic or it's the slam stuff. But they said in L.A., we have every culture, every kind of, as you know, I mean, you know, more musical, more avant-garde, more on the page, you know. We have, you know, any kind of poetry, whether it be, you know, Chicano poets or you know, black poets, gay poets, you know, every kind of scene is here. And also everybody likes each other, too. I mean, you know what I mean? Or at least most.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing about the L.A. poetry scene. I mean, I do this reading. I only host it 4 times a year now because I'm with my family, my wife and my kids a lot, but I host this reading called Three Generations on the Same Stage. And the intention is I have some of the high school students I teach that are 16 or 17. And then I have great poet friends that I know that are in their 60s and 70s. And I know Tia Chucha does the same thing, you know, let's get all the folks together.
Yeah, actually we had Tom Adams, and I want to say a shout out to him as well. He was on my show once and I caught him off guard though. He was getting ready to go to school and prepare his class. But he gave me the best half hour. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
I don't care.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Dude, just talk for half hour, 20 minutes, whatever you have is a blessing. Thank you. To me,
yes,
having this venue, having this, you know, space, which is now called the Ripple Effect because Jeffrey Martin wanted to get into it as well. Basically, I'm just extending the hand and I'm just relaying the message because this can be anybody's show. You can be, this will actually be your ripple. Like you're going to create more, you're going to bring the next guest over if you want to and
say,
hey, there's a show that I can actually get you in. We have 45 minutes to discuss poetry and life and spiritual things, and you know, you want to talk about whatever in our show. And you know, you don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to go out of your way to get in the bus and get in the metro. And traffic in LA is super, super duper stressful. So I understand people cannot make it all the way from Riverside. Like last night, we had somebody come all the way from Riverside to Sylmar. So, yeah. And the telephone is much easier, I think.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And
absolutely.
So I'd like to extend this invitation to you and your people, because I'm not sure, I know you have people that you know, to join in next time, and maybe we have a little open mic kind of thing, you know?
You know, I actually have a couple friends in mind, I think, that would really love to be on, that would love to speak with you, and I actually mean the need to connect you. I'll connect you on them via Facebook, and one is my friend Luis, and then there's also, who actually grew up in Pacoima, and I really want to connect
with you. Not Rodriguez.
No, you know, he's in his mid thirties, but he's a guy who always wrote a million poems, but he's actually only started reading them publicly in the last year or two. And he's a buddy of mine, and he's a heck of a poet. But he used to work construction, and now he just started teaching. But he has a really interesting angle on his poetry, because he's a licensed journeyman, and he only became a teacher in the last 1 or 2 years. He's a heck of an English teacher, but he originally worked construction through his 20s and wrote a lot of poems about just working around L.A., and then lately he fell in love with the poetry scene, and he's a buddy of mine. We teach together, and we mentor a bunch of young poets together, so he's a really good guy. But there's a couple of other poets I'd like to introduce you to as well. Did you ever meet Armand Kennard?
No.
Good friend of mine. He's another guy that he's a poet, screenwriter, actor, really just a good guy, and he grew up in LA, and he's an old buddy of mine. He's both of those two gentlemen I know would love to speak with you and have a lot of poems and some interesting stories. So I'm going to connect you to both of them via Facebook later on today after we talk.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. That would be great. So anyways, I don't want it to keep going without you doing some poetry, my poetry show.
Yes, sir.
So I wonder if you have anything ready to go.
Yeah, a lot of different things. Let me think. There's so many different poems here. Okay, let me begin with, here's just a short one. Unpredictable, like January rain, Santa Ana winds come from the east. Eucalyptus trees in the left turn lane, Mother Nature unleashed on Pasadena streets. That's just four lines. I'm going to do some longer ones. But that one was about, you may remember about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a time in late November, early December, where we had some amazing rainstorms.
Yes.
And it blew over a bunch of, I was driving around Pasadena, and it was literally, somebody told me something like, over 100 trees in Pasadena fell down, like fell
on the
roads. And,
I remember, because here in Sylmar, as you know, is the wind tunnel of the valley.
Yes, sir.
And whenever it's a little windy elsewhere, here's a tornado. So I was like, oh, it's a little windy. Oh, that must be bad in Sylmar.
Yeah. I'm really inspired. A lot of my poetry, I mean, there's other things too, but a lot of my poetry is inspired by the geography and the history of Southern California. And so whether it be our weather, whether it be our culture, whether it be the people. And so I'll share a few poems today, and there are, many of them are really inspired by Southern California's landscape and the culture. And I'll do another short one right now about the Arroyo Seco. And it's about the river, and it's about what's happened along the river. So here we go.
Okay.
Arts and crafts flourished in the Arroyo Seco. Chaparral hills of underground water flow. Most of the time, the dry creeks flow. Homesteaders built craftsman homes a century ago in Sycamore Grove. Arts and crafts flourished in the Arroyo Seco. Poets and artists like Charles Fletcher Lummis settled in the lush landscape of wooded oaks. Most of the time, the dry creeks flow. The river ran wild a long time ago. The concrete came for flood control. Arts and crafts flourished in the Arroyo Seco. Figueroa is the intersection of the avenues. The river tunnels were canvassed for crews. Most of the time, the dry creek slow. Everything changed when the freeway was built. The concrete cover flowing water below. Arts and crafts flourished in the Royal Seco. Most of the time, the dry creek slow.
Like that.
So that. Thank you. Yeah, the Arroyo Seco, the 110 freeway, and the little river there, and
yeah,
right there, all the way from Pasadena down into downtown LA.
There's something about poetry that captures. I mean, you're describing, you know, the geography and everything, but you're also mixing the arts and you're mixing the scene that happens, you know, around LA. So that kind of captures our, you know, our life.
Yes,
and it's
sir.
Not just the weekend, because it used to be the weekend for me, like, oh, the weekend, let's go to the museum, let's go here. So now it's like almost every day for me is poetry, it's
mm-hmm.
art,
mm-hmm.
and it's
mm-hmm.
paintings, and it's movies, and it's yeah.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our city pulsates with poetry and with arts and with everything, and
mm-hmm.
there's no excuse to not get out and just leave it, just enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean,
it reminds me when I was in Berlin, and I didn't like Berlin, to be honest, but there was one time that I forced myself to get out of the hotel, and then I happened to see a dance group by the river. I forget which river it is, but it was by the Museum Tinsel. Anyways, it's an island of museums. And after the museum, I was museumed out. I was like, okay, another museum? Really?
Wow.
I was done with museums, okay? I had already been through Paris. So I'm like, oh, God.
Right,
anyways,
right.
There's so much museums you can see in one trip.
There's only so many museums you can go to. Yes, sir. And you're right, Paris
yeah.
is the capital of them all, so.
Yes, yes. Anyhow, it's funny because, yeah, I was not in a good mood. I was not in a museum mood, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend and I went to by the river, and when we heard salsa music, salsa.
Wow.
And I'm like, are we in Berlin or in Colombia? Because it sounded like a Colombian kind of rhythm, you know, like, you know, I know salsa, and
yeah.
I know there's different kind of rhythms from Cuba or Caribbean. Salsa is different than, you know, South American. So I was like, it sounds like South American music to me. So we went, and sure enough, it was a Colombian, I think he was the instructor, and they were dancing salsa, right? And so my boyfriend's like, hey, you want a beer? I'm like, I usually don't drink beer, but I'm like, you know, it's sunny, it's nice. Let's just sit here and watch people. We're on vacation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We're not
yes,
driving.
Sir.
We're not endangering anybody. Sure. Let's do it. And that was the best moment in Berlin.
Wow.
Just enjoying music, enjoying life, enjoying the people. People watching is my favorite, you know, hobby.
Yeah, always great. Always fun.
And LA is the same way. LA, you can go somewhere and just stare at people for the whole day. Just go to Placita Olvera. You can go to the metro station if you want. You know,
mm-hmm.
wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how the diversity of people that live in LA.
My favorite thing. I mean, I love the whole city, but really my favorite thing about LA is all the people, all the great people from all the different neighborhoods.
Right.
It's really, I really, that is the one thing when I'll miss. You know, every once in a while, I try to, some years I can do it more than others, but I try to, you know, leave town a couple weekends out of the year, whether it be going to the Bay Area or, you know, if I'm lucky, every couple years I'll go to New York, or a few years back I did some poetry in Chicago, but even I'll go up to the Bay Area. But when I get out of town for a while, there is nowhere that quite has, I mean, there are other diversity in other cities, but there's nowhere that really has all the flavor that we have here. And it's only, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes away from everything is, you know, you get in the car, or, you know, you get hop on the train and you know, from Thai Town to Little Armenia to from East LA to South LA to, you know, everything, every kind of food you want, all of that within, you know, sometimes, you know, 10 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, and have you been to Tuesday Night Project, by the way?
Yeah, they're Tracy Cato Kiriyama, who founded the Tuesday Night Project. She's a really good friend of mine, and she's one of my main sisters in poetry. And I mean, she really has mentored so many poets, and she's a really community-minded woman. And she, I love Little Tokyo because my wife, in a lot of ways, grew up in Little Tokyo, and so my wife used to work at the Japanese American National Museum. So, that Tuesday Night Project that Tracy started, she has literally mentored hundreds of poets that are now, you know, she started that. I think she started it in 1998 when she was only 22, right out of college herself. So, I've hosted many, many poetry venues, but I've never hosted more than one more than 5 years at a time. Tracy has hosted the same one for 18 years. I have to really, her longevity. I've hosted a lot of different spots, and I used to, there was one point in my life where I was hosting three different monthlies, and I've hosted some weeklies here and there, but to host the same event for 18 years and to keep it going like she has, the Tuesday Night Project is one of the most important venues in L.A., very important place.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, I only been to one this year, but last year I think I attended to, I tried to attend to as many as I can because it was an amazing venue and amazing artists, and they're very...
Mm-hmm.
They're very humble.
Very
I gotta
they're
say.
Very humble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you've been a host, so you understand what I'm saying. But
I do.
Yeah.
Some hosts are not as some people are not as welcoming and generous as others. I mean, do you know Connie Williams?
Connie Williams sounds very familiar.
He's the artistic director at the World Stage and a very important poet in Mert Park.
I've been to the World Stage, so I probably have seen him, and that's where I know that name from. Yes.
Well, he was talking about certain people are gatekeepers, and he says they don't. Not everybody opens the door really widely, but you know, places like people like Tuesday Night or people like Tia Chucha's, you all open the doors. I mean, I'm here. You're having me today on your radio show. You're opening a door, and that's a beautiful thing. And I've always done my best to open doors when I host a show or with my students. And one of my favorite things, more than my own poetry, is one of my things I'm the most proud of is that I've just gotten a lot of young people started as writers. And so Connie Williams was talking to me about some people in LA are gatekeepers and they don't share enough the spirit of LA. Like the reason why Luis Rodriguez is poet laureate, aside from the fact that he's an awesome poet, is that you'll hardly ever meet somebody who's as kind as Luis. I mean, he's a
I love the man. And that's what I meant to say earlier. I didn't mean to say, because I said earlier, Luis Rodriguez, it's not going to be Luis Rodriguez. It's because I already have a plan for Luis Rodriguez, but I'm not there yet, if you know what I'm saying. I have to get ready for him. But he's an amazing poet and person. And I'm actually attending
Giant
his... Yes. He breathes poetry, and then he also lives it, and he believes in the power of the word and the healing power of the poetry in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm attending his healing circles, which is all it is basically going around the room and just talking.
Those are beautiful.
And it's so healing. I don't understand how we didn't do this before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we just disconnect so much because of the technology, and so connecting back to our roots is very,
yes,
very
sir.
Important to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I completely agree with you. And, that healing circle that you're talking about with Luis, I even attempt to do that sometimes with my high school students. I mean, we do it within the realms of what I can do in a classroom, but sometimes we'll just sit around and have everyone share their stuff, but also sometimes just hear people's personal stories. And, you know, just it's amazing what a little compassion and a little listening will do. And you just sit there and people just want to be heard.
Thank you.
You know, just to hear
That's
people's
it.
Stories.
That's it. Because we all have inner child,
yes,
I call
sir.
It.
Yes,
and
sir.
Our inner child wants to speak. Our inner child is tired of just sitting in the back seat and not allowed to speak. And, you know, even our parents have inner child. I discovered recently.
We all forget.
Because my mom, you know,
that,
I come home after the weekend and having done this and that and this and having 50, and then I go to Highland Park, and then I go to, you know, Venice, and, you know, I lead a very exciting life, I think.
Yes, sir.
And so my mom's like, you never called me. You didn't call me this weekend. But you know what I pictured? I pictured my mom, who is now 64. I picture a six-year-old saying, you didn't call me, Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I picture. Like, oh, my God.
Yes.
So sorry,
yes.
Mom.
Yeah. You know, it's we do forget that they're just, you know, regular, you know, people like us. And, like, yeah, if you don't speak, you know, I try to give my dad a call, you know, a couple times a week or once or twice a week, because just to check up on him. And, he lives alone, and even if you just talk to him for 5 minutes sometimes, they just want to hear from you, you know?
Yes, yes.
Just,
and we're so selfish that we're like, no, this is my inner child, and I'm exploring, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And but we have to stop and think about our parents and our dear ones who are still, they have children inside, and they need attention.
Yes, sir.
I know your 1 year old is like, wow.
Oh yeah, he's a lot of fun, and he's got a really good spirit. And when I come home, and, you know, people always talk about how they, you know, like your children and your pets are the ones that just, like, indiscriminately love you. Like, people always talk about, for my wife, you know, it's not only our kids, but it's her cat. Like, the cat, you know, she jokes around. And she's been with the cat longer than she's been with me, you know. And, you know, like our, how close we all get with our companions and with our family, with our loved ones. But, like I said, even your pet, your dog, or your cat, or whatever it is, we all need that camaraderie and that companionship. And it really, but I guess also, you know, we have to take care of one another, and we have to take care of ourselves. And there's a lot to, and I think that's why poetry is so necessary, because it's a bridge between, it also helps us express that which cannot really be totally always put into words, or the feelings that you maybe don't quite know how to say them right. So you write a poem and you do your best to capture that spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And I've shared my poetry with my mother too. And it's a blessing that I have a mother who, I just want to share something right now, actually. In Spanish,
ahead,
though.
No,
I don't know if you speak any Spanish.
A little bit. I can understand it pretty good. So go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, this is going to be the first time that we're going to have a Spanish reading in ripples. Gracias a mi madre, porque ella es la persona que me trajo a este mundo. My mother is the one that brought me to this world. Le agradezco porque me quiso y me sigue queriendo. Se sacrifica por hacerme feliz. No hay nada más que le haga más feliz que verme feliz a mí. There's nothing that makes her more happy than seeing me happy. muchas veces lo ignoro y no le agradezco a diario por lo que hace por mí. Lo que hace en casa, mi laundry, mi comida, que prepara con tanto amor. Cómo arregla todo lo que necesita atención en casa. Inclusive conversar conmigo, aunque no quiera compañía, ella es la primera amiga que yo tuve. In other words, she's my very first friend that I ever had.
Yes, sir.
And I go on and, you know, but I believe that we choose our parents. We circle around the globe and we're like, huh. Those two over there, they seem to love each other. Why not? And I didn't believe it for the longest time. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Right, right.
At first you're like, no, But then you're like, wait, you know, it's nice to appreciate them and to love them and to, it's okay to love your parents.
You know, the older I get, the more I love them. I mean, I've always been pretty darn cool with them, but I think there was a period from about 18 to 24 or maybe 17 to 25 where, you know, you're first moving out on your own or you're getting jobs and you're going out in the world. You're kind of, you know, I guess, leaving the nest, so to speak. And as you get out into the world, you you know, you reflect on your parents and maybe for a while you see, hey, well, not everybody's exactly like my parents, and you meet these different kinds of people. And I remember the first time I moved out, and I had been really close to my mom, but then somewhere about 24, 25, 26, I started reflecting back, and I was like, wow, my mom is a really awesome person. And now I'm probably closer to her now than I've ever been, even though I haven't lived with her. I haven't lived with her in about 22, 23 years. I mean, I moved out right at 18 and kind of stayed out. But now I call her, if I get a chance, almost every day. So some days more than others. But as I said, and sometimes it might just be for 2 or 3 minutes. But later on I realized, wow, what an amazing woman. My mom was a school teacher. She just retired. But she taught school for about 35 years. And it's like I've been a writer, but in the last few years I've worked quite a bit as a teacher in a fair amount of different schools, and I realized that my mom's, you know, and my mom has written poetry for a long time. I mean, she did it more like just in her journal, and she didn't really share it with anybody. But I realized that so much of who I am really did just start with her, because I remember seeing her as a little kid. She was always writing in her journal, and when I was 18 or 19, I moved away from home for the first time in L.A., I graduated from high school in the year of the 92 riots, and so L.A. was really in turmoil.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God, that's a coincidence.
Wasn't that, that time period made me everything of who I am. Wasn't that early 90 time period really an interesting time period in L.A. and the city?
Yes. Well, I came from Peru. So.
Right on.
Yeah. Let's just say it was a shock. they were telling me, don't go. Do you see the news? Do you see what's going on in L.A.? I'm like, I'm still going. I don't care what happens. And
what do you remember when you first came?
I was in the valley. So for me, you know, to be honest with you, people say, do you remember the riots? I'm like, I don't remember the riots, because I remember arriving to this country for the first time, or the second time, I should say. But to me, it was like the first time, because I had, you know, I didn't grow up here. And so my experience was way different than your experience, you know? And so everybody has a different, I guess, experience, journey, you know? I remember the 9/11 towers. I remember for sure.
Yes, sir.
And how it still affected me, you know? But the 92 riots, it didn't really affect me as much as people would think, you know? And I'm being honest, I'm just not, I wasn't around to see what happened, you know, from the beginning. But now I appreciate it. Now I understand what an impact it was on people.
Well, you know, I mean, the main thing, I guess, there's a lot of different things, but I guess the main thing was just that there was this cultural awareness and how the different generations were, you know, our generation, because as you know, you graduated from high school in 92 as well, our generation was starting to be more of like the awakened generation. And then the kids that are below us, the millennials, those kids that are 10, 15 years younger than us, and even my students that are, you know, I guess my students are all 20, 25 years younger than us. And I have a student in my class who was born in the year 2000, you know what I mean? And like,
oh my God.
You remember the year 9/11. You remember, you know, this was only 14 years ago. And so I got these 17-year-old students in my class. But the thing I remember about the 90s and 2000s was there was a lot of awakening happening. And I remember when I first entered the poetry scene in the mid-90s, we were all invested in trying to make LA a better city, and we were all invested in trying to create some unity through the art, but also as a dialogue so that people could express themselves. And see that all points are valid. And it was kind of a shift in consciousness was happening, and a lot of the old ways of thinking were being, like they talk about demons and exorcism, a lot of the old demons were being exorcised, I mean, and through poetry and through when I started into the scene, you know, there was a lot of times where, you know, you'd go to different venues and there was a lot of people were talking about whether it was police brutality or whether it was racism or whether it was just different issues of the day. But poetry was a way that everyone could iron out these differences and create a mutual understanding.
Right. Anyway, so Mike, I actually wanted to bring in one of your admirers on the phone right now. She's been listening to the show, and she loves what you're saying about the inner child, or what we've been discussing, both of us. And she's actually a poet herself. Her name is Magdalena Murillo, and she's actually on the phone. Hello.
Hi.
There she is.
Hi, Magdalena. Hello, how are you today?
How are you?
Hey, it's another great day.
It's so nice to hear your poetry and your discussions. I mean, your deep understanding of this life.
Thank you so much. Great to speak with you, too. It's always fun to talk about these things, and it's why we get together and do it in the first place.
And she's been on my show before, but this is the first time she's in the in the Ripple show. So she's working right now, as you can tell. But she works at a gas station.
Yeah, I'm doing so many things at the same time.
How cool is that? I mean,
yeah, and I'm listening. It's just like, it's so beautiful to hear you both. I mean, these topics of the inner child, and it's you know, in fact, I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday, that somebody that went to church with us. I don't remember his name. We were talking about children. You know, children, we are taught, or we are told when we're little, oh, be quiet, you don't know what you're talking about. But we were talking about it, and you know, something that I discovered, that, I mean, as I go, as I live my life, that when children are born, they're born with such a light. It's so close to perfection. And they're so frank. They're so open to say, to smile, and to cry too. Don't get me wrong. But they're so beautiful. And we, you know, as we go along, as we move forward in life, you know, we encounter darkness, and we become dark and dark. And I mean, because in reality, the world is dark. But children, they're sparks.
It's true. You're right.
And now we have John Legend. Now we have John Legend join us as well. He's I open up with Listen. The song is called Listen by John Legend with David Guetta, by the way. Great song. And I have to bring it to a close, but I wanted to thank Mike and Magdalena for calling in today. As you know, this is your platform. You can all do your own ripples, and we'll create a bigger, bigger puddle to an ocean, and, you know, we can connect minds this way.
Victor and Magdalena, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Cheers to you both, and I want to leave one last thought. The neon crowns glow above the city of angels. Haze hovers after another nuclear sunset. We love it all. We are alive in Los Angeles. L.A.
All right. Thank you, Mike and Madalena. And here is, again, Listen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Victor,
I enjoy more listening than actually talking.
That's why the song is called Listen.
That's it.
Alright.
Let's hit the road and away we go. Take a new direction to a different coast. Maybe we should try and put it on the line. You gotta trust me now. Turn up the radio. Tune out the world and roll with the melody. Baby, listen close and open up your mind.